All right. Good morning, everyone. Shavua Tov. I just wanted to review very briefly what we said and add a story from Shabbos and go a step further. On Wednesday, we said that to say that the whole Torah is important, every mitzvah is vital and critical, and that's the way we talk, is absolutely false. There are different gradations within the mitzvah. So let's just go over this again. When it comes to Isurim, when it comes to prohibitions, how do you know what's more severe than the other? There is a dead giveaway. What's the giveaway? Pardon? The sentence, the penalty, or the punishment. If the punishment is severe, we know this mitzvah is on a harder grade than if the punishment is less severe. That is correct. In addition, we added, also a dead giveaway, when it comes to positive commandments, then we have a gradation between mitzvot that are biblical and the rabbanans, rabbinic, and customs. And how do we know that there's a gradation? Once again, don't go to the penalty here, but go to when are you exempt from doing the mitzvah? So when it comes to biblical commandments, pikuach nefesh, when you're in life endangering situation. When you come to rabbinic commandments, woohoo, a list. And we gave the example the other day of the famous Shabbos Goy. The Shabbos Goy doesn't exist. There is no such thing in Halacha. Halacha dictates that on Shabbat, you are not allowed. You are not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for you what you're not allowed to do yourself. But there's many exceptions to the rule to the extent that people think that there's such an institution called a Shabbos Goy. So we know that within the realm of prohibitions, there is a gradation. And we know that within the realm of positive commandments, there is a gradation between Doraisa, the Rabbanans, and Minhag, simply because we know that there are certain things that would exempt us from it when it comes to biblical less, when it comes to rabbinic more, when it comes to customs even more than that. Yes, Bruce?
Was there a discussion that concluded with that conclusion on not asking a Shabbos Goy to do it?
There was a big discussion on Wednesday. You have to pick it up on the tape.
In Gemara.
In the Gemara, what?
Was there this discussion? Because it sounds as if there really shouldn't be anything wrong with asking someone to do.
Correct.
He's allowed.
Correct. There is a big discussion in Rishonim as to why not, because it seems that if God didn't command the non-Jews for Shabbos, why is it that they can't do for me
right. What
I can do? What's the big deal? I'll just say I'll just open the parentheses. According to the majority of the Rishonim, it's a rabbinic enactment, and they give reasons for it. Rambam says Shelo Yesh Shabbat Kala Beinecha, that the Shabbos shouldn't be such an easy thing. You know, Shabbos will be like Friday. The only difference is I'll ask the non-Jew to put on my light. I'll ask the non-Jew to put on my television. Shabbos should be a different day and shouldn't be so easy, quote unquote, to violate. Rashi, on the other hand, gives other reasons. In general, they say it's rabbinic, though there is a Rashi that seems to connote that it might be biblical because it says in the Torah Lo Te'aseh Melacha. Not ta'aseh do, but te'aseh, which means someone do it for you. You're passive. And from there, medayek Rashi, lo ta'aseh atam malachtecha, lo ta'aseh agoy malachtecha. Just like you can do it, a non-Jew can do it too. But the majority of Rishonim say it's rabbinic, and they give various reasons as to why. Okay?
And then in fact, we have the Shabbos Goy.
The Shabbos Goy is absolutely 100% something that doesn't exist halachically, but the reason why there is such an idea in the eyes of the Jewish people is because there's so many exceptions to the rule. If you want another example of that, look at Chol HaMoed. Tell someone there's prohibitions on Chol HaMoed, he'll laugh at your face and say, no, Chol HaMoed, Chol HaMoed. You're just on Pesach, you can't eat chametz, and on Sukkot you have to eat in the Sukkah, but it's a regular day. It's 100% not true. But there's so many exceptions to the rule that people believe everything's okay. Yes. Mr. Finkelstein. Right. Right.
Can I go in there?
Yes, that's absolutely permitted, because you're not asking him. First of all, you're not asking him. First of all, you're not asking him, so the asking question is out. Number two is he's doing it for his own benefit, so there's no problem of benefiting, because once again, he's doing it for his own purposes. You're just tagging along. So therefore, there's no problem. If he's already going up in the elevator and he presses number five, you jump in. There's no problem with that. Okay? But if a non-Jew comes into the room and it's dark and puts on a light and starts reading a newspaper, then you can, of course, read the newspaper for that light. On the other hand, if you put it on for you, that's where the problems begin.
One of the things you said, Now, Bali and I are going to the seventh floor.
Okay, all these, we're going to open up a very big halakhic discussion about Amir Alag. If you would like, you can take a break at a certain point from what we do every Sunday and Wednesday, and I can give shiurim on the biggest, one of the biggest secrets in the Torah, namely, that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to do what you're not allowed to do. There's a bigger secrets like Lashon Hara. That's a very good, well-kept secret that people that you're allowed to speak, that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. People keep that very secret. Malach on Cholamoid, it's my second one, and I think the Shabbos Goy is the third. Maybe the Shabbos Goy and Cholamoid are on the same.
They're
fighting for the second. All right, you'll tell me if you are. Okay, let's close the parentheses and get back on track. I just want to tell a story that illustrated what I said at the end of Shir on Wednesday, and that is that if we start going ahead and saying that everything's important and everything is critical and every mitzvah is d'oraisa, and God forbid you go ahead and violate anything, not only are we not portraying the true Torah, but we're starting a new religion. That's not Torah. If we say that a d'oraisa is a d'rabbanan, or a d'rabbanan is a d'oraisa, that's not the Torah, so it's a new religion. So if your name is Judy, and you want to start a religion, you want to name it after yourself, what would the religion be called?
Judaism.
And if your name is Emily, you can call it Emilyism. And whatever your name is, that's the way it is. But it's not Judaism. But then I added a different concern and a bigger concern, and that is that when you start telling people that putting on a light on Shabbos is as important as wearing a strimal on Shabbos, and when they don't want to wear a strimal, they also say, just like you told me that a strimal is important, and I found out the truth on Google, then I guess putting on a light on Shabbos is not that important too, so they'll throw it all away. On Shabbos, I actually heard a large story about this, about a person that is today, unfortunately, not religious. And the reason for that was that he was growing up in a certain community where everyone wore a strimal on Shabbos. And he decided he doesn't want to look like a fool, quote unquote, and wear a strimal in the hot summer. So he stopped wearing a fur hat in the summer. And he told his parents, I'm not going to wear it. And his parents basically told him something along the lines of, if you stop wearing a strimal, you might as well cook on Shabbos. And because of that, he's not religious today. Now, this is not a made-up story just for the shiur. This is a large story. I know names. I know where the person lives. And that just illustrates the points I made on Wednesday. Don't go ahead and mix up the proportions within the Torah. Wearing your strimal is a beautiful minhag. I've said many times I'd love to live where there's more strimals on Shabbos and more black hats. I think it adds to the diversity of the Jewish people. And it's a wonderful custom if you keep it. But let's call a spade a spade. It is a custom. And you see the damage that could be done. But I want to go a step further today and ask you about the following. In the realm of biblical commandments, not biblical versus rabbinic, in the realm of biblical commandments, can you say there's a gradation in mitzvot? How do you know that shaking lulav on the first day of Sukkot is far more important, far more important than tying your shoes in such a way that the Shulchan Aruch dictates, namely put on your right shoe first and your left shoe first. Allow me to sharpen my question, unless you're left-handed. The Mishnah in Avot that you all know, beginning of the second parak in Avot, says, Havei zahir b'mitzvah kala kebachamura, she'en ata yodea matan tcharan shel mitzvot. You have to be very careful in doing what the Mishnah calls an easy mitzvah, as you would with a hard mitzvah, because you have no idea as to what the reward will be for these mitzvot. So it seems very explicit in the eyes of our sages of Chazal that all the mitzvot are equal. They say, you don't know what the reward is for shaking lulav versus putting on your right shoe first in the morning. How do you know? So maybe in the realm of what we call biblical mitzvot, there is no difference. The Rambam, as you know, was not only a prolific writer on Jewish philosophy, the Moreh Nevuchim, and didn't only write a code of Jewish law called the Mishnah Torah, and didn't only write many different things, he also wrote a Perush to the Mishnah. And in general, Baruch Hashem, it's one of those books that are learned. And this is what the Rambam says on that Mishnah. He starts out by saying exactly what we said. In the realm of negative commandments, it's a dead giveaway what's higher, what's lower. What's the dead giveaway? The penalty. Aval mitzvot asay, but in the realm of biblical commandments, says the Rambam, lo pires sachar kol achad miyev, mahu lifnei Hashem. God didn't say what the reward is. So we would know what's more severe, what's less severe. God in the Torah just said, shake lulav, say shema. He didn't say, if you say shema, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't shake lulav, this is what's going to happen. He doesn't say that usually. Yes.
There are a few mitzvahs where the Torah says this is the, like keeping the whole Torah.
No. That's what Chazal put into it. But that's not what the Torah says. In other words, within the biblical description, we have certain mitzvot where the God says what the reward is. But he doesn't tell you, on the other hand, but in Kriyat Shema, if you do it every day, then the reward is greater or lower than what I said about, I don't know, Kibud Avaim, where the Torah does say, Laman Ya'arichun Yamecha, you should have a long life. So we don't know. So what are you supposed to do? The Mishnah says, Zahir ke mitzvah kalake b'chamura, she'en ata yodea matan tcharan shel mitzvot. Be very careful with the biblical commandments because you don't know which one is more severe than the other. So I, on Wednesday, threw out in everyone's faces, tying your right shoe on Shabbos before your left shoe is in the same Shulchan Aruch as Kriyat Shema, but we all know that Kriyat Shema is more important. How do we know that? How do you know that? Unless you want to say that tying your shoe is rabbinic and Kriyat Shema is biblical, you have no idea. Now,
comparing Yom Kippur to Shabbat, you violate Shabbat.
Again, with Shabbat. Violations, we know, because there's a dead giveaway. What's the dead giveaway? The punishment. But when it comes to biblical commandments, so I didn't say Shema this morning, and I also didn't daven this morning. Or to be more precise, I davened, because they told me minyan, but I didn't say Shema. Mm-hmm. According to the Rambam, the Ramban disagrees, but according to the Rambam Maimonides, davening once a day every day is a biblical commandment. What you say exactly is not a biblical commandment, but davening once a day every day is a biblical commandment. Kriyat Shema in the morning and evening is a biblical commandment as well. How do you know this is more important than that? There's no way of knowing because the Torah does not tell us what the reward is. So if you have two biblical commandments, it seems the Mishnah stares us in the face and says, hey guys, when it comes to biblical commandments, you have no idea, don't start giving grades, because you don't know.
Also, if you ran to it, you have to be in a meeting to suggest the Kaddish that they look at Chabad meeting starting at 9:30, and you know that it's probably after the time for Shema. Is that a clash of values? Well, you're not sure which is the right and which is not. You're going to say Shema. You know it's going to be a little bit late. You think maybe it's going to count anyway. I might as well be in a meeting and do that, say Kaddish. Why not? I should say Shema on my own, misdemeanor, if that's the case.
Well, in that case, there is a dead giveaway. The halacha does require you to say Shema on time, so you should say Shema on time and forego davening in a minyan.
Is that rabbinic?
Because davening in a minyan is not a biblical commandment.
So
as a matter of fact, it may be a good idea only. It depends how you define what davening in a minyan is. When the Shulchan Aruch codifies the law of minyan, he never says you have to daven in a minyan. He says, Yishtadel me'od lihitpalel bevet ha'kneset im ha'tzibor. Your person should go out of his way very much to daven in a shul with a minyan. And then he goes on to say, and if you don't have a minyan, then you should daven in a shul. And if you don't have a shul, you should daven in a minyan. But he does not in any which way say it's chiyuv, it's chayuv, it's obligatory. So therefore, in that case, you should say Shema on time. Meaning, and the Kaddish will catch somewhere else.
Meaning the rules of Shema are also directed.
The rules of the Shema is the Oraisa. What in within the Shema is the Oraisa? So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. This is only the first Pasuk. This is the whole three Parshios. That's already a Machlokas Rishonim. Now the Rambam throws a bombshell. So you have biblical commandments, you have the Shema, you have putting up a mezuzah, you don't know what the reward is. The Rambam throws here a bomb. Everyone ready? You're sitting down? This is going to blow you away. Even though we have no way of knowing which mitzvah is more important than the other in the realm of positive commandments, I can tell you how to grade them. Ready for this?
Yes.
Shekol mitzvot aseh she'ata motze, shechaya v'haover aleha chiyuv chamor, teida shebekiyuma yesachar gadol. There is something in between violation versus fulfillment. So you fulfill shaking lulav. By shaving with a razor, you violate a prohibition. What's in between the two? Something that's called in halachic literature a bitul mitzvah asa. Bitul mitzvah asa means not doing a biblical commandment. Can anyone tell me an example of such a thing, that if a person does not do a biblical commandment, there's a terrible punishment?
Break it up.
Brit Milah?
Yeah.
And what's the second example in the Torah?
Not eating matzah.
Pesach. Not bringing a Pesach sacrifice on the eve of Pesach and then eating it properly at the Seder night, and not doing a Brit Milah is indeed two commandments that if you don't do them, there's karet, there's a punishment. So in between fulfillment and violation, you have something else. You sat back, you didn't bring your Korban Pesach, you're within the walking distance to Jerusalem. There is a punishment, so that must be on a higher level than lulav, let's say. Okay? The Rambam goes on and adds two more examples that we won't go into, and that is Shvita Bashvi'i, making a Shabbos out of the seventh day, and Asiyat Ma'akeh, making upon your roof a ma'akeh. Everyone knows what a ma'akeh is. If you have a roof where you go on to, not a banister, a gate around your roof, those mitzvot that if you don't do them, there's a punishment, already are on a higher grade than mitzvot that if you don't do them, well, you're not the best person in the world, but there's no punishment for it. Kol eilu mitzvot aseh, these are all biblical commandments, אלא שחייב את העושה מלאכה בשבת סכימה, ומבטל את המילה וקרבן למועדו, קראת, ועשם דמים בביתו לאו. מזה תלמד, כי שכר שביתה בשבת גדול מאוד יותר משכר מילה, וששכר מילה גדול לפני השם משכר עשיית מעקה. So we see that even if you go into the biblical mitzvot, there is something called the bitul mitzvah zaseh, that sometimes there's a punishment for, like Brit Milah and Korban Pesach. Sometimes there isn't a punishment for it, so you know that this is on a higher level than that. So we see that the Rambam, who could have very easily taken the Mishnah at face value and said, every mitzvah in the Torah that's biblical is on the same level, doesn't go that way. He says, my intellectual honesty dictates that there is grace even within biblical commandments. Now, why is this so important? Bruce beforehand said that even in the world of Chazal, we find this. Many, many times, Chazal take a mitzvah and says, this is like you fulfill the entire Torah. They don't say that about all the 613 mitzvahs. They definitely don't say it about wearing a strimal on Shabbos. What do they say it about?
Shabbat,
I don't recall. Maybe you know, I don't
know.
Tefillin is like learning the entire Torah, or like doing the entire Torah. That's correct. Tzitzis.
Living in Eretz
Yisrael, Achnasas Orchim, that's this week, last week's Parsha, Gdola Mitzvah, Achnasat Orchim, Mahakbalat Pnei Ashchina. Many, many times Chazal say, this mitzvah is so great that it's even greater than something else. Right? Ein mevatlim tino kolchel Beit Rabban, you never go ahead and cancel school. Afilu lebinyan Beit HaMikdash, even if they're building the temple. So everyone today in the news is talking about, God forbid the Jews are going to build a temple. I'm amazed by people, Jews, saying, God forbid, it's legitimate to talk about it. But let's close the parentheses. The fact is that even in the world of Chazal, we find that they're grading mitzvahs constantly. Now, why is it? Why is it so important? Why don't we just say, listen, when it comes to Yisurin, we know, dead giveaway. When it comes to biblical commandments, don't start digging. You know, all the biblical commandments are important, davening, laning, well, all important. Why is it so important, even in the realm of biblical commandments, which is davening and shema, etc., to go ahead and to dig? Why is it so important? Yes?
Just to ask, just before we get to that answer, I thought there's mitzvahs with God and the mitzvahs with people. And mitzvahs with people clearly are more important because, we say in Yom Kippur, if you don't get some kind of the process regarding yeah. Mitzvah people, you can't even get to the other.
Well, okay, you're quoting correctly that on Yom Kippur does not, mechapa does not atone for interpersonal violations that you did through the year. It doesn't mean one is more important than the other. It just means Yom Kippur won't work. It doesn't mean it's more important, per se.
In our Ramchal, supposedly, when he gets to it, I think he explains that the mitzvahs are the end result after being in mention, all the other things first.
We said that many times here. I absolutely agree with it. But it doesn't mean that the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, let's say, is more important than Shema, per se. We can't establish from that. But why is it important, Bichlal, to have this conversation? To go and say, this is more important than that. First of all, and we said this many times. Yes, Mitch, you wanted to answer?
I was going to, give an answer to that. I don't know.
Yes.
You have the answer.
No, I have answers, but that's why we're learning together. Yeah.
Well, actually, like when you prospective convert, we have a prospective convert, you're supposed to teach them like a couple of the easier mitzvot and some of the harder mitzvot.
That's a very good Gemara that definitely proves what we just said. That even the Gemara, when it comes to conversions, the Gemara in Yevamot Daf Mem Zayin, who says that you teach the convert, you can't teach the convert everything. You say mitzvot, you teach them, and I quote, miktsat mitzvot kalot, miktsat mitzvot chamurot. So even there, Chazal invoke the term of severe, or to be more precise, hard versus easy. And how do you know? We're trying to establish. So the Rambam gave us one yardstick, and that is, if you don't do it, is there a punishment? So Brismila, Make, and Korban Pesach, we found it. So why is it so important to say this? Number one, and we said this many times, there's going to be a clash of values. Or to be more precise, a clash of mitzvot. Says Rav Amital here on page 49. And I'm going to say it in my own language, but the bottom of page 49, he says it in his language, that the bottom line is that there's going to be times in your life where it's not a life of Shulchan Aruch. The code of Jewish law is great. You get up in the morning, you wash your hands, you go to shul, you learn Torah, you go to work, eventually you come home, you make brachos, everything's beautiful. Is that the way life is usually? Absolutely, 100% not. There's always going to be a clash of values. I want to daven in a minyan, and my kid's making noise. So what stumps what? I want to go to shul to hear a daf yomi. My wife needs my help at home. What is more important than the other? I want to say kriyat shema, as Bruce says, on time, but now I'm saying kaddish for my mother and my father, and it's time for kaddish. And if I say kaddish, I'm going to miss kriyat shema. What's more important? Life is full of these clashes every single day. Life is not perfect. And therefore we need to know, when you have two mitzvot clashing, what to do. And an extreme example is brought here on page 49 on the bottom. And that's what we call a chassid shote. A person that when he has this clash, he makes the wrong decision because somewhere in his convoluted education, they gave him a convoluted idea of what Torah is really about and what is more severe versus what is less severe within Jewish law. And they call him a chassid shote. Whoever doesn't know what that means, I'd rather not translate. You know what? I'll translate. Let's tell the truth. A pious idiot. Hey chidami chassid shote. Who is a pious idiot? A guy who's so pious? Who's an idiot? You ready? A woman is drowning in the river, and she's screaming for help. And we all know how a woman who's in the river is dressed. And even if she's dressed properly and she fell in, her clothes are going to very much stick to her body. And she's going to look immodest. And if you go and save her, you're going to see the immodesty. And you say, pious idiot, Lav orach ara li'isukule ba va'atzula. It's not proper for me to look at a woman that's not dressed betznius with modesty, therefore let her drown. So you have the value of tznius, shmirata inayim, making sure your eyes don't look at prohibitive aspects of life, including women that are not dressed modest, women that are dressed immodestly. And you have a positive commandment of, or a positive negative commandment of, lo tamod al dam reyecha. Someone's dying, you have to help them. And you could help them. You can throw something into the sea and not endanger yourself. The Yerushalmi takes it even a step further. The Yerushalmi in Sota gives the following example. Ezu chatzichat, who's the pious idiot? Ra'atinok mebabea banar. He doesn't see a woman, but he sees a baby. And you already talk about a baby. It's not a baby per se, a little two-year-old, two-month-year-old, but rather a young child, or maybe a young feminine child. The Amar, and a person says, Lechashachot tfilin etzlinu, imkeshucholet tfilin otzizet nafshel. A person is davening. He has his tefillin on the Kedusha over Tahara, with great sanctity, with great purity of mind and of matter. And he sees a little girl drowning in the sea outside the window. And instead of rushing out with his tefillin and jumping in and saving this baby, he says, first I'll take off my tefillin. Tefillin or tefillin? You know, a good pair of tefillin today, $500 and up. Number two, it's so holy a mitzvah that it's one of those mitzvot that many opposed can say, even though we encourage women to do mitzvah, this one, no, it's too holy, it's too much at stake. Shema, Hashem, Nikra, Alecha, literally, God's name is on you. So let me take off my tefillin first, give it a kiss, and then I'll go save someone in the sea. That's a pious idiot. Why is that a pious idiot? Because tefillin is important, and tefillin are very holy objects, and you can't throw tefillin in the garbage, you have to actually put it in Geniza if they're no good. But due respect, doesn't Pikuach Nefesh stump that? You can save a little boy, a little girl. Doesn't that stump that? Tznius is important, but isn't saving someone stumping tznius? So here is a very radical example with a capital R, where a person who does not go ahead and make that gradation in mitzvot will make a very grave mistake in fulfilling what Judaism asks of him or her. Yeah. What do you say?
I don't know. That he could save a life, period. He could save a life, no excuse. No excuse. The court said, he can never.
Of course. So that's why I say it's a very, very radical. It's a chassid choita. He's so worried about mitzvah that he makes a stupid mistake.
You know, it doesn't mean think he may be a shorter, but he killed some person.
Well, he didn't kill him. He just didn't save him in this case.
Why did it cause a shorter? It's not enough.
I think you're right, but again, because the Gemara uses the term chassid shota because it's saying that because of Jewish law, because you're such a person who is involved and delved into Jewish law, into keeping Judaism, that's what's preventing you from doing the right thing. And the Gemara doesn't mince words. You may be a chassid, but you're a shota. Yes, Bruce.
This is a black and white, almost like a straw man argument, because today, let's say someone will stand up for a Torah. But he won't stand up for the guy who knows a lot of the guy who doesn't like the guy, which happens probably a lot. Or people that sit and learn all day, which is a good value. But we know there's other values that they will exhort us. So in our world, we have things that are not so clear to someone dying. But that is all the time.
But it's not just in our world. This is a simple halacha here. This is not just our world versus other worlds.
We see it all the time in our world.
That's exactly what we're talking about. In our world today, I think that these values are being put on a different level on the ladder. That we take tznius and we put it very high in certain communities to such an extent that this can definitely happen.
Right.
I told you the story once about a lady who's in the hospital. She's basically dilated. She runs to the mikveh because she heard it's a segula to go to the mikveh before she gives birth. The danger to her, the danger to the baby, I don't even want to go into details. Okay? Mikveh, important. Segula is okay. I'm not going to say anything. But with due respect, have your head screwed on straight. What?
Halavai
was a water burst, but this is not. No, before she gave birth. I don't get it either, but no. It's a skula. I'm not going to talk about skulas. I don't know skulas. Number two, gentlemen, and with this I conclude for today.
Why
does she need a skula? I don't know. Number two. Sometimes when you have a clash of values, it's not a dead giveaway like this, but sometimes it's not such a dead giveaway. But because you think that the same Shulchan Aruch told you that tying your shoes in such a way in the morning that you have to put on your right shoe first and then your left shoe is the same Shulchan Aruch that says you have to read Kriyat Shema in the morning within the first 3 hours of the day, the first three relative hours of the day, then you can make a very, very honest mistake. You're going to be very machfit in the morning to put on your shoes properly. And meanwhile, Zman Kriyat Shema will pass by you. Or the example you gave, Bruce. You're very machfit to say Kaddish for your mother or your father. This is an important thing. But there's Kriyat Shema every day. And as important as that is, it's not on the same level as saying Kriyat Shema on time in the morning and in the evening. You can really, totally forego a mitzvah d'oraisa, a positive commandment of saying Kriyat Shema. While Kaddish for a mother may be a kim of kibud avayim, but it's a kibud avayim acharei motah, the person's already not in the world, and you can always make it up later on in the day. So therefore, it's important to know these values because there's going to be clash of values. So therefore, we're going to go out of our way and talk about it, and we're going to have to learn it this way. And that's why every good shir starts with, is this a d'oraisa, is this a d'rabbanan? Because there will be a clash of values. And you have to know what to do when there's a clash of values. So, as Mr. Finkelstein said, sometimes it's a dead giveaway. We know what pikuach nefesh is. But sometimes it's not such a dead giveaway. And we gave the example of tying your shoes and you're going to miss Kriyat Shema. You could say, oh, easy shmeezy, but not for many. If you read the same Shulchan Aruch, you seem to say that it's on the same level. You can go one step further and say that, hey, you know, when I was a kid, they told me davening. And when I was older, they said davening, don't talk in davening, and don't talk in davening, and don't talk in davening, and it's very important, and it's very critical. And then a guest comes into shul and says, can I sit in this chair? And you, from a very early age, were taught, don't talk between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach. And they forgot to tell you the details of when you're allowed to talk. But from your perspective, you're not allowed to talk. Very important. And meanwhile, unfortunately, this person will start having first impressions about you that are totally false. This shul is terrible. They don't want to have guests. They're not hospitable. I come in, no one talks to you. Even when I asked a question, they didn't talk to me. You can go on and on with all these beautiful ideas, to be more precise, all these false impressions about a person, because you didn't go ahead and properly tell a person, Torah is Torah, mitzvot are mitzvot, but they're not all on the same grade. So therefore it's critical for us to know, because of the clash of values, because clash of values will happen. To sum up this year in one sentence, I will say, life is not perfect. Perfection is in the dictionary, not in life. Because of that, we have to go through the mitzvot and ask what's on a higher level and what's on a lower level.